Blog Talk Radio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Edition of Real Talk. And of course, I am your host, the man they call Jim Green. And once again, folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with me. Now, before I get started on this episode, let me remind every one of you listening to this broadcast to spread the word of Real Talk to people you know through the forums, through social blogs, they go to media websites, so on and so forth. And spread it around like wildfire. To let everybody know that Real Talk is in live session, baby. And we are live every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this is Real Talk in session, all right? Now, what I'm here to discuss tonight is something that it's from the former spokesperson for the Obama administration. And here we go, folks. I'm talking about Reed Sherlin. That's right. There was an article published in the New Republic called The Worst Week, Michelle Obama is Trapped. This was published in 2014 that discussed about, this was during the second administration of President Obama. All right? And, of course, we're talking about the so-called First Lady. And if you don't think that Michelle Obama's a trainee, why don't you just go ahead and complain to Ghost of True Capitalist Radio? Tweet him at, Politics Ghost on Twitter. All one word, no underscores, baby. You know, tweet him that tweet, and he'll give you a response or something. But until then, let's just assume that for now that she has a status of female rather than, you know, tranny and, you know, packing something between her legs. I mean, that could easily be a rumor. But then again, more evidence is needed to just, you know, prove that. So, anyways, this article talks about, as you can tell from the abstract that's been provided here in the episode description, is that we're discussing her relationship with the East Wing of the White House. And, you know, this is one of those politically active first ladies in our modern history in the United States. This was her, in 2014, it was her, I think it was, I know it's been 8 years since President Obama ran the country. In 2014, this was when she was, well, she's first lady. The 2014, that's her sixth year, all right? She's known to fulfill social functions outlined in binders left by the Laura Bush's team. She's launched initiatives like the Let's Move, the Childhood Obesity Initiative, and Joining Forces, a program to help military families and veterans. She was wondering at one point, what more should she do? But, you know, she's broad thinking in terms of goals and whatnot. As you could tell from the previous broadcast, I discussed examples of, well, the First Lady's relationship with the West Wing and the East Wing. Now, this is where I expand a little bit on the topic while discussing this article. And, of course, that the New Republic can be a reliable source because it conducts political commentary. But if it was a pop culture magazine like the People magazine, I don't consider that reliable for scholarly research. Anyways, no First Lady in recent memory has entered the stately recesses of the East Wing other than Michelle Obama. If you look back in 2008, it was clear that she rarely possessed gifts. We all know that Nancy Reagan was criticized, you know, for allegations relating to political gifts, gifts given to her, loans. I mean, there was a government expenditure. There's that accounting sheet that, you know what, you could just look it up on Google. I don't care right now. But this is for another time. Now, like Hillary Clinton before, Michelle Obama was an accomplished lawyer with policy smarts. And even though she condones, you know, the pedophilia that happened in Pizzagate scandal, but I would give it to her on the fact that she's a smart cookie, an electrifying speaker, able to translate her husband's lofty agenda into a grounded, common-sense morality. When Michelle Obama entered the White House in 2009, she attracted staffers eager to bring about policy prescriptions that she had so forcefully advocated on the trail. Whether she really meant to advocate for the issues like childhood obesity, education, or whatnot, this is for another time, as I may or may not cover the topic of psychology as it relates to the First Lady, but we're getting there. We're getting there. This meant that when it came to search for a communications director, guess who's in her mind? Christina Shake, or Checky, or whatever. This is a California political operative that led a fight against California's Proposition 8. And she helped steer Maria Shriver's annual women's conference, widely hailed as a breakout success. Now, if Proposition 8 has to do with homosexuality, then I would personally support, things like that because of what the Bible says about it. But I can disagree with it on constitutional value because it would unnecessarily insert the government influence into the topic of marriage. But Michelle Obama, as far as I know, is not only a Democrat, but she's also a liberal in a way that she sees social issues like abortion and gay marriage. It should come as no surprise to any of you political junkies and students and professors listening to this broadcast, all right? And I apologize if I'm a little insensitive to some minorities like the gays and the transgenders, but I say it like it is, okay? Jesus Christ. Anyways, Shanky's hiring seemed to signal that the First Lady was ready to embark on the new phase, focused on issues of public health and equality. Oh yeah, the buzzword of equality, yeah. Let's just make everything equal. No. Equal opportunity? Maybe. But not equal everything. Yeah, even gays and homosexuals have to have their health care. I mean, really, now, I mean, they're citizens too, so under Obamacare, which is going to be repealed in a matter of days or weeks, as long as Congress doesn't just push that aside so they can work on a so-called carbon tax, then we can get this done. Now, 2.5 years later, Shanky would be out the door, replaced by an executive from Estee Lauder. What Shanky couldn't have known in 2010, and what Mrs. Obama's hyper-motivated, highly accomplished staffers would never publicly admit, is that the First Lady's office can be confining, frustrating, even miserable place to work. And I can think of pretty good reasons why. Maybe it's because she expects too much out of her staff, Plus, she would favor the West Wing aside from the East Wing. Oh my gosh, I would not be in a comfortable position had we raised expectations and not consider raising them properly, or, you know, to get the job done, you have to motivate them in the best way possible without causing a greater amount of suffering. This may sound utilitarian or whatnot, but hey. Anyways, of course, that her first move was to declare that she wanted to play it safe. Yeah, right. She gathered her small staff at a presidential transition headquarters in downtown Washington and outlined a distinctly narrow vision, which is, I would admit, but specific in your goals is one way to do this. To be broad and not come up with a specific thing, I mean, some sort of balance has to be here. Now, of course, that this can be interpreted as a caution, but you can't just really assume that. Michelle Obama has been at the height of her galvanizing truth-telling power when, in February 2008, she declared in Madison, Wisconsin, "For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country." Are you kidding me? This is a woman who stand beside a freaking communist who wants illegal immigrants and freaking ISIS to destroy America. Jesus Christ, man, you can't just bring problems down here and just talk like you can communicate well with the public. I mean, that's not how it works. But unfortunately, if you're a really good orator, you can lure a lot of people to your cause, even if you have, like, something else in mind. I mean, if it works with Obama, it could work with any leader, whether they're Republican or Democrat. I don't like that one bit. The politics is not game, people. And I'll admit that Michelle Obama may have been especially cautious, especially when it comes to her family's public life. Before there was even President Obama, she held a series of meetings with David Axelrod to rigorously assess everything, from her husband's chances of actually winning to where the girls would go to school, according to biographer Lisa Mundy. Unlike her husband, who derives visible satisfaction from his ability to improvise, Michelle Obama depends on structure to support her public work, the ease with which she'll pick up a hula hoop, say, or the Dougie with school kids. Or Doug, you know, from the cartoon. Anyways, the mandate to be deliberate in all things has been enshrined into the East Wing operating procedure. And in that early meeting and the months following, Mrs. Obama made it clear to her staff that, endless compulsory East Wing receptions aside, her time was a valuable asset, and requests to use it would have to meet an exceptionally high bar. My organization and a well-trained staff to accomplish these things to get every event going. Of course, they should focus on a concrete, achievable goal. But if you're going to have a boss that's going to push you harder than you normally are capable of, like he pushed you too hard just so he could just, you know, make you look stupid, to downplay you or to make you look like a bad guy when you're just doing your job, are you going to take that? No, you won't. Even if you get paid for all your hard work, you do have rights too. I mean, you got to have some courage in order to stand up to people who bully you, who intimidate you. That's not to say Mrs. Obama had done those things, but she had spent too much out of her staff. And if we can equalize maybe my finances and the staff in the East Wing to match that of the West Wing, maybe that would promote what we call equality. But there's two different means associated with that term. But since that's a wordplay thing, I'm not going to cover that in this episode. But I will tell you this. Guarantees are not going to come easy. I mean, everybody's pressured in the West Wing and the East Wing, and yet Michelle Obama sees the West Wing as favorable compared to the East Wing, despite the East Wing having a small number of staff. But there's really good talent there. The staff knew that every event should produce positive coverage, and that all of the angles had to be exhaustively researched and gamed out. Something that I admire, all right? I mean, one, the former aide of the Obama administration said, there's no parameter. The first lady having a wrong pencil skirt on Monday is just as big of a screw-up as someone speaking on the record when they didn't mean to, or a policy initiative that completely failed. You could say Obamacare failed. Woo! Of course, the winners of Obamacare happen to be the poor and those who work at minimum wage jobs, but the rest of America, I don't think so. I don't freaking think so. Former staffers describe a high-stress, high-stakes workplace in which Mrs. Obama scrutinized the smallest facets of her schedule. You can tell that she's pretty much a detail-oriented person. Aides in both wings of the White House say she insists on playing every move months in advance and finalizing speeches weeks ahead of time, a rigidity nearly unheard of in today's chaotic political environment. Oh my gosh, and that's the understatement because it's already chaotic since Trump came into office. Yeah. You know, all this conflict of blah, 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 blah. There's internal judgment that's been harsh, all right? The invitations to meetings with the First Lady in her office above the Jackie Kennedy Garden became a vital status symbol, a way for staffers to measure their worth. And you see, one former East Winger told Reed Trellin, every meeting was like an identity crisis, whether you get invited or not. Casual FaceTime with Mrs. Obama was coveted as a badge of insiderdom. And, of course, the scripture tells us that, you know, thou shalt not covet or be jealous. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. But, unfortunately, that's not prescribed to law. And with good reason, all right? But if people learn not to be covetous, then we would be emulating people's success. All right? I mean, anybody's successes can be emulated. Inspiring people to create their own success stories. Isn't that the story of capitalism, folks? I certainly consider that a part of it. Now, I do admire the fact that we have to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, and Michelle Obama is one of the first ladies that tried to do that. But, you know, I wouldn't say firstly if she was found out to be a tranny. I'm just saying. Just saying. Few have succeeded, all right, in making friends and even get their job done. Mrs. Obama has consistently shown a strong preference to be surrounded by aides with seniority or long-standing ties. A former White House staffer quoted saying, she's the kind of person who, if you know her for a long time, you get to a point with her where you loved. But it's really hard at first. Yeah, no kidding, staffer, all right? Mrs. Obama replaced her first chief of staff, Jackie Norris, who had overseen a campaign stellar Iowa operation, with an old friend, Susan Scher. When Scher returned to Chicago at the end of 2010, Tina Chen, another Chicago lawyer who had been working in the White House Office of Public Engagement, settled into a chief of staff job. In other words, she's looking for a few political cronies working for the administration, all right? I mean, that's sick. It's sick. Oh, my gosh. You mean to tell me that you're trying to improve the image of President Obama as a good guy when his actions tell a different story? Good Lord. Former employees say that Scher and Chen both emphasize competence and conflict avoidance over grand vision. Maybe the opposite. Most important, both were comfortable taking orders from Valerie Jarrett, you know, the first lady self-appointed enforcer and avatar. Oh my gosh. And I'll tell you something right now. The Let's Move campaign saw its first two directors washed out. One who is a veteran political organizer along the lines of Bernie Sanders. And the next would be a pediatrician to be replaced in 2013 by Sam Cass, Obama's longtime chef and garden master. I mean, you can't be more ridiculous than that. A chef and a garden master running a campaign like this? Good Lord, it's like he doesn't have a portfolio for this job, all right? Being a director takes a lot of hard work, time, and energy. You gotta have at least a college degree, like a bachelor's, in order to get the job. Good Lord. Now, Christina Shackey, consigned to this environment, she pushed to broaden Mrs. Obama's audience without seeing her boss's willingness to take risks. It was that very lady who recommended that the First Lady appears with celebrities like Jimmy Fallon for what have become familiar bouts of silliness. Fiend kale chips to Fallon and Will Ferrell, you know, the guy who plays as Elf in, you know, Buddy and Elf, the movie. Yeah, that movie. Or dunking a mini basketball on LeBron James as Dwayne Wade reads helping tips. What a sham, all right? Those appearances won important attention for the First Lady's signature issues, all right? Including those that I mentioned. They also won Shackey admirers in the West Wing, where the president's advisors had long been suspicious of the seriousness of Mrs. Obama's operation. I mean, if you're a manager of a company or organization, it's not easy to put your staff in appropriate positions based on everything like education and their ability to carry out the job. I mean, it's not easy. You got to take this seriously. Even though bosses and certain companies have, like, grand visions and whatnot, but how will these visions be implemented depends on what's here in real life that can make it work. Besides money and the time and energy, the labor of every personnel in the company. Jennifer Palmieri, now the communications director at West Wing Bond Administration, quietly approached Shackey about taking a deputy job there, which is not a legal promotion, but more of a de facto or just say-so societal promotion. At the same time, Shackey was talking to the East Wing about taking on an elevated role. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a dream or a goal. If you want to make it happen, you got to have plenty of hard work, time, and energy devoted to this. You know, put your mind to it for whatever steps you take, all right? When word got out about the West Wing job, the process blew up. Apparently over whether Shackey had the First Lady's permission to pursue the job with Palmieri. And what I tell you in a previous episode, that the First Lady gets to call the shots in terms of her staff's suggestions, willingness to accomplish an event in a certain way. You know, that type of request. The line of inquiry. She'll call the shots, and she has a final say over that. You know, in the private sector, a talented candidate will pursue any and all opportunities for advancement. But in the East Wing, it was a violation of trust, which unfortunately is Mrs. Obama's core principle. As a result, Shackey, who declined a comment, left in June 2013 for a job at a Jesus Christ. A girl, Reed Sherlin, through this article, was basically talking about what he or she experienced during her time as a spokesperson, or him or her. I don't care. A spokesperson. What he or she experienced in there and what he or she learned through observation. Now, the goal is to encourage more young people, especially those from underserved populations, to achieve college education. That's the strategic review right there that had a one lasting impact. It's a cause that Michelle Obama is clearly passionate about, and one that harnessed the power of her own life story. And yet, insiders in Washington say that the program has so far fallen short of one of strategic plan's key recommendations. That it be supported with substance, like proposals for legislation or policy changes among higher education, institutions. Like, say, University of Arkansas at Little Rock, or UACCB, or even University of Arkansas from Fayetteville. Those are public education institutions, by the way. Of course, that in September, the First Lady jetted to Watertown, Wisconsin, for a new initiative named Drink Up. The idea was to try to counter the marketing oomph of the makers of sugary drinks. Oh my gosh, this involves capitalists versus socialists, because it's the government wants to control the distribution and production of soda cans. Oh my gosh. Mrs. Obama has led Watertown's high school students in a toast with Drink Up branded water bottles and participate in water games. The kickoff did not go entirely smoothly, all right? Nutrition activists questioned why big soda companies were among the program's corporate promoters. Watertown had presumably been selected because of its name, but a local paper noted that one of the town's major employers is a soda bottling plant. Vending can be a casualty of the East Wing's understaffing. All right, favor of accountability, but for some reason, the Obamas were not a fan of that, as though it ruins their cause to make America more socialistic or communist. I mean, good God. And, of course, that she's already been a first lady for 8 years, and the status quo is likely to continue unless Donald Trump takes every bit of action he can, despite being cornered by the establishment at this point, within the first 100 days of his presidency to change that status quo. The office ranks have filled out with operatives comfortable with Watertown-style initiatives, and several say that this has led to a less fraught workplace environment. Chief among the decision-makers are Cass and Jared, old family friends who enjoy rare access to the president and the First Lady's ultra-secluded living quarters, and to Mrs. Obama's private thinking. And just FYI, folks, Drink Up Initiative was a Cass brainchild, for Christ's sake. The First Lady remains broadly popular, and her office had contributed to a lot of gains. So, and of course, the New Republic had received reports, even from the CDC, about the technical data associated with the effects of sugary drinks on children. Plus, exercise and a healthy diet, to lower the obesity. Now, long story short, my friends, is that article. I mean, who could have known that Mrs. Obama handled a rally in Old Music Hall in downtown Cincinnati? She tried her best to make America healthy, but instead made it to where her husband would have so much support for his communist. She expected too much of her staff, and they had underproductivity, performing below expectations because there's too much she expected. Good God. I do apologize if I sound like off-keister, for Christ's sake. I mean, I don't personally like President Obama because of his policies, not because of his trivial characteristics. Anyways, we're going to the after show, for Christ's sake. And, of course, then you won't be able to call other than listen to the broadcast. So, of course, then if you want to call in the next time you hear a broadcast like this, the First Lady's broadcast, or just broadcasts of any type of real talk, part of the Eddie Hinkle Network. If you want to call in next time. The number to call is 347-855-8578. That's 347-855-8578. That's the number to call here. And, of course, if you want to check out my Twitter blog, our Twitter account, you can access under the name MLP underscore Bristle with a capital B. And check out the Tumblr blog of this Pony OC, Dr. Bristle. And stay tuned for future updates, you know, with broadcasts. In the meantime, since this, what we call possibly Rio Graffiti, this is a borrowed concept from Ghost, in which the spectators become the part of a spectacle. All you got to do is give me a call, or when I call you on your area code or by a familiar name, you got 3 to 4 seconds to say whatever it is that is on your mind. That's why Ghost called this Radio Graffiti. All right, if you want to call in and do what you want to, or you can talk to me about any important topics, not just that of the First Lady, then, you know, fire away, as they say. Boy, I'm terrible with phrases. Anyways, let's take it from the top here. 111, you're on the air, Rio Graffiti.
Hey there, guys. This is Christopher Walken again, and I am going to give you a King Edward Undead fanfic. There was a fool called George Soros that his name King Edward Undead. He was walking in the store to get some cum crystal pipsy, and he fucks corpses for a living. Yes, he is a necrophile. He later on finds Ty Blue and Jacob Green, but Ty Blue dropped his penny, and later on show his small butt to Eddie Hinkle and Jacob Green. But the corpse fucker blushed like a pig as he decided to invite Ty Blue and Jacob for a three-way together. He said, oh yeah, I want me some of that Ty Blue ass. King Edward and Jacob and Ty Blue were all of their underwear, but they all got naked in the bed together. Ty Blue said, hey guys, it's Ty Blue here. Let's right into the three-way. Eddie said, fuck my bun hole, Jacob, as they started having anal sex until Eddie comes.
All right, shut up, Christopher Walken, and shut up. Look, I don't know where you get this fanfic, or is it fanfiction.net or something, or do you just concoct it out of your ass? But I'm sorry for cursing for people with virgin ears. I'm sorry, but this is taking me off. I never done anything related to dead corpses in a graveyard, all right? I mean, necrophiliacs, oh, Jesus Christ, it's disgusting. I mean, what kind of sick people are we having out there, for Christ's sake, man? Worse folks, and you probably may have heard this from Sam Kinison, that dead comedian. He would point out something like homosexual necrophiliacs. I mean, yeah. That's all kinds of crap rolled up into one, for Christ's sake. What the hell, man? I'm sorry, but what the freaking hell? I understand freedom of speech and expression, but there has to be a limit. Even the Supreme Court has rulings that concern limits. Who the hell else we got here, engineer? Well, we got another one, huh? We got 862. You're on the air. Rio Graffiti.
Old Jacob's been a while. I got a Valentine's gift for you. You want to know about it?
Sure. What do you got?
Well, I bring my old orange juice, and guess what it's made? And I also have Kurt Cobain's shotgun, so we all use it together. It would all go in hell together. It would be so hot.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is what Ghost was talking about. The fruitiness of these callers, for Christ's sake. Oh, yeah, yesterday was Valentine's Day. It's when everybody, you know, all right, if you already understand what Valentine's Day is, I don't have to explain it. Besides, I got little 10 minutes or less until the broadcast ends, so... Oh, my gosh. I mean, the prettiness, it's what gets me. I mean, it's... I mean, I'm jaded, for Christ's sake. I mean, I'm not going to repeat the same line that Ghost says. I'm not really depressed. I mean, seriously, I've been doing good all day. Now, let's see what we got here. Oh, one woman hang up. Oh! What the hell, man? Oh, my gosh. Anyways, let's go to another caller. 575, you're on the air. Radio Graffiti.
What is going on, King Edward Undead and others? It is I, the Teutonic Plague. How you doing? I got some constructive criticism for you.
Sure.
All right. You got to find your own voice there, Ed. You sound a little bit too much like the man we all know, and Ghost doesn't like when people rip him off. It's how I found my own voice for the show I'm going to be starting soon. It's going to be called The Gamer's Quarantine. It's going to be a two-hour show dedicated to gaming. It's going to start here in the beginning of March. I'll let you know when the first episode is. And, by God, about all I've got to say. Long live Ghost. Long live the Capitalist Army.
All right. Thank you for calling in. I'm glad you raised that concern with me. Yeah, you're right. I mean, at least you're not a troll when you said that. I mean, the last caller I got who accused me of ripping off, I thought he was just being an ass. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I appreciate anybody who has constructive criticism. Maybe I could be less like Goofy Bone trying to rip off Ghost. You know what I'm saying? I could continue with my commentary as like one of those commentators on Discovery Channel or something while talking about First Ladies or any topic I discuss on Real Talk while retaining the, you know, internet vandalism kind of segment. Which, as you can tell, King Edward Undead, a.k.a. Eddie Hinkle, yeah, he's got it, all right? And he allowed me to do this, you know, internet vandalism, so why not? I'll switch a format and experiment from there and see how people react. So, well, thank you for bringing that suggestion to light. I'm sure that if Ghost were to hear this and he accused me of being the bad guy here, then, well, I apologize ahead of time. It's nothing we can do, folks. I can act like Ghost, but I can't just rip him off every dang time, okay? Can't use radiography or anything like that, although my viewpoints are closer to his concerning Trump. Anyways, let's go to another caller, because, yeah, just because. Anyways, we got 808. You're on the air. Radio Graffiti. You know, whatever.
Hey, Big Jack. To celebrate Gamer's Quarantine, I'm going to present my asshole into the nearest glory hoe. It'll be totally legit.
Shut up with the Jack crap, all right? Oh, what the hell is this, huh? I'm not a ham bone, you asshole. And Ghost is certainly not a ham bone, as he, you can tell from the pictures on Google that he's a freaking skeleton. Skeletons don't have flesh. They don't have organs. Which begs the question, how can Ghost talk if he doesn't have, like, a vocal cord or esophagus or whatever organs he had? We'll never know, folks. We'll never know. You know, from the scientific perspective. Anyways, I'm not Big Jack, okay? I'm not a freaking communist who is like a fat lard, you know, who just spread communist views even when the Soviets collapsed, you know, under their own economic pressures, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, let's take another caller here. We got three at this point, so we got 5 minutes left, and there's not a lot of callers on a queue. I mean, good Lord. What else we got here? 862, you're on the air. Internet vandalism.
What the fuck is that? When King Edward started sucking time, Lucy said, you're dead. King Edward sucked my mom's fellow, damn if you do. We'll get the ship to drama and order to come home. Has he sucked to come out of the court?
I can't understand you. I mean, is this an Obama phone or something to that nature? I mean, what's this, a 300-something 3SS computer or something? I mean, if the quality sucks, then it's either my phone or dead. You got to get a better device with better connectivity wherever you are. Anyways, 575, you're on the air. Internet vandalism.
Do you suck at life? Have you ever found yourself wondering how you can just end it all right now? Worry no more, comrades. Previous, but it's...
Now shove it up your ass, you cockeyed vodka-drinking bastard. I mean, like Ghost, I don't trust the damn Ruskies, all right? And my life doesn't suck, for one thing. And part of that has to do with the fact that I have a girlfriend. How about that? You think that Russian girls are hot? Wait until you see Japanese or American women, huh? I bet anime women are more hot than these piece of butts. You know what I'm saying? But that's not important. I mean, good God. What else we got here? I wouldn't be surprised if the 575 caller happens to be Ed King Ed or some troll associated with him. Anyway. We got 808. You're on the air. Internet vandalism.
Hey, Big Jack. It's me again. I'm still going to present my asshole for Gamers Quarantine. Oh, my.
Jesus Christ, man. Damn it. Now we got an impersonator of Tump Guy. What's up with that crap, man? First and foremost, I mean, that's sick-ass, you know, what you just said there. And secondly, I'm not Big Jack, all right? Shut up with that crap, all right? I mean, do you have, like, some sort of fetish toward Big Jack or something? You know what? Oh, my gosh. I better not go there, okay? You know what? Give me the mic. Give me the mic. Jesus Christ. It's bad enough I get accused of ripping off Ghost. Now I'm having internet butt stalkers, for Christ's sake, man. If Michelle Obama is a trainee, well, I am not damn surprised at all. All right? Anyways, I'm going to have to cut this broadcast short here because I'm running out of time for one thing. And another thing is, I got to prepare for the next broadcast. So I'm going to continue doing some research on First Ladies. And whenever I get that done, I'll let you know through the next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. And study hard, but not too hard. And same place, same time, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Good night, everybody. And hopefully you'll learn a thing or two about First Ladies. And if you haven't checked out the previous episodes, go to the archives. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And I'll talk to y'all tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, on Bowler Friday.